You're at 5.
Let's say you're at 5.
Right.
And a guy is making a little
more so like, I mean, then you're going to get it. Okay, this. Of course, an additional leniency in this case would be the Eshalach wrong. He could have done it with his elbow, right? And we quoted before from the Mishnah Lamelech that it's a shvus to shvus, above the Rambam, and it's no dibur. Doesn't say anything. So therefore, maybe you don't even need a makom mitzvah. It's kind of the case. Anyway, I think it's permissible in this situation. Now, major problem. The major problem is mail. Did you put something in the mail on Friday? And we quoted before from the Mishnah Lamelech that it's a shvus to shvus, above the Rambam, and it's no dibur. Doesn't say anything. Therefore, maybe you don't even need a makom mitzvah. It's kind of the case. Anyway, I think it's permissible in this situation. Now, major problem. The major problem is mail. Did you put something in the mail on Friday? So some say, no. Tell if you put it in the mail on Friday, tell them to go to deliver it on Shabbos. I'll just say, who said they're going to take 3 days later to deliver it? Yes? Right, so some kids permit, but they didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos. Don't just put it in the mail on Friday. Oh, that's the problem. See, when it comes to the cleaner. Right, exactly. When it comes to the cleaner, you have no idea when they're going to do it. You don't know when. You're not really expected to do it at a particular time. It's not. He didn't tell you he was going to do it by a certain time. And if he did, it's gratuitous. He did my thing, I need it on Monday. But when you put something in a mailbox, and it's in advance, the whole system is set up. Collection time, 5 o'clock, 10 p.m., 9 o'clock a.m. It's all set up in advance. So and then you're going to take it and bring it to the post office, and they're going to start processing the whole thing and sending it out. So therefore, perhaps one might argue it's considered that you tell them explicitly to do it on Shabbos. Yes.
Yeah. So if you have
something
that you have to
do it, who has a job to collect it all? The question is, can we consider the mail people, are they agents of the government, postal service, or are they agents of the individuals who are sending the package? That's a very tricky question. The Prima Gunnim suggests he's an agent of the government. But I'm still not convinced that the Prima Gunnim's mail is the same as ours. The very beautiful Sefer, which is written in Gateshead by Falk, which he claims, the mail that we have today in England and America is exactly the same mail they had in Frankfurt in the Prima Gunnim's time, 300 years ago. Same thing. But I'm not convinced. The expression implies that the real mail, the post, that they used to call it, was done on behalf of the government and the big business. That's why they made the big mail. And everyone else can sort of schlep along and, you know, get climb on the bandwagon. But now I'm not convinced. I have to check it out by historians. I'm not convinced that even had stamps in those days. Could be that the, you know, regular postal service should travel from city to city. Could be they only had one central drop-off point in the city, because, you know, it was the main government center or business center. And they go from city to city, you pick it up. So it could be that in that kind of situation, you just sort of hang her on. I mean, the postman comes for the government, for the business, and just throw in your letter too. Could be, I mean, I'm not sure the facts. Whereas today, you put a 32-cent stamp on, you're telling him to do it for you, he's not doing it for other Jews. Also, ran. You, like everybody else, are telling him to please, mail this letter. I'm not convinced that's a good argument that they're doing it working for the city or for the federal government or postal service. I'm not so sure that's true. I'm not sure. Maybe yes, maybe not. However, aside from all these possible leniencies, namely, maybe he's working for the government. Maybe you know, you didn't really come to do it on Shabbos, you know, maybe. It's a better leniency. Namely, what's it doing for you? What he does is they stamp the, and they cancel the stamps. No thanks. I'd rather you not cancel the stamps. My friends can use them against the letter. What else do? They pick it up and they deliver it. Now that's already a problem. But the problem is mitigated significantly. Because when the mailman comes, you've seen mailmen operate, they come with a satchel, big bag, and they put the letters, 100 letters in a bag. Right? If your letter's not there, you'll be carrying a bag full of letters anyway. Instead of 100 letters, it'll be 90 letters. What's he doing for you? All he's doing for you is called adding letters in the same mail, but in the same bag. Adding letters in the same bag is a not such a powerful prohibition. It's called either Mabba Bishiyur, I mean adding an extra more, or it's called Egg and Kli, it's all the same, in the same bag. We discussed this. No, we didn't discuss this. So it's called Riba Bishiyur or Egg and Kli, which the Rabbi Falk from Gaita proves it's permissible to tell the guy to do such a thing, especially before Shabbos. Especially before Shabbos. I think he's right. And therefore, since he's not doing anything for you in particular, it would be okay. This applies, by the way, only to regular mail. It would not apply to what? Federal Express. Federal Express, you take a special, it's delivery only for you. I don't think that's allowed. According to my logic, it would not be allowed. First of all, you're talking to do it with Dafka on Shabbos. You can't do it on Monday. Second of all, he's working for you, really. I'm not sure if it's a separate service. He's working really for you. And third of all, he's carrying your package separately. So if I wouldn't send a FedEx on Friday. But regular mail, I think it's permissible for the reason you mentioned before. Yes?
What if you, like a secretary or something at a company, and they contact you to send
The non-Jew does what he does in the mail service or post office. Who's he doing it for? Is he doing it for you? Is he doing it for your boss? Or for the customer doing it?
I mean, if the customer wants something there the next day, you'd be more than happy to send it in the post office. You know?
I don't think he's doing it for the customer. He's doing it for the sender.
He's doing it for who's paying for it.
Right, who's paying for it?
Your boss, you're not paying for it. You're like his shaliach.
So I'm saying maybe one could argue, I think about it more carefully, maybe if you're permitted to do so on the ground, that v'davar davar there isn't. Right, he's not even saying anything on Shabbos, before Shabbos. Shlichus. The problem is that the postman who's going to, deliver this package on Shabbos is doing it for you. It's arguable, at least. I got to think about it. He's not doing it for you, he's doing it for the person who paid for it and who's sending it, which is really the company. Maybe it sort of skips over you and it goes really from the boss to the non-Jew, and maybe you're out of the picture. I'm not sure. I got to think about that, okay? I'm not sure. Yes?
I'm telling you I'm going to add more before Shabbos, okay?
Yeah.
So if we know
the
guy's
going to
be making hot water on Shabbos,
that's
some poor Shabbos, but when you make your hot water.
Oh, the answer is no. This only works for what we call the Rabbanim. I'm sorry, I thought I mentioned that. Only works for the Rabbanim, he says. And carrying today the Rabbanim for a number of reasons. Number one, we mentioned already a long time ago, we have no issues to Rabbanim Daraisa, it's only carrying the Rabbanim. Number two, you're carrying from a house to a house through the street, which is also according to many the Rabbanim. So therefore, that's the grounds for permissibility. That would not apply to heating up water. I'm sorry. I didn't mention that explicitly.
There's a question?
Yes.
So, but I don't understand it. You said maybe because of Shabbat, but if you don't need regular mail to get there on Shabbat,
It's not going to get there. Even if you put it into the mailbox on Shabbos, you can't do it, okay?
Put it out on Shabbos?
Sorry. You put it up before Shabbos and it picks up. On Shabbos. It's not going to get to the place where you want it to go unless you've got FedExing it on Shabbos anyway. So
good. That's okay. We'll get it picked up on Friday.
Huh?
We'll pick it up Friday at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And they'll bring it to the post over that night. And the next day they'll select. The overnight they'll select. And they'll send it out and get it on Shabbos. Yeah. Happens. No. It doesn't always happen, but it certainly happens when it's supposed to happen. The mail is Friday morning. It's supposed to be delivered Saturday morning. Local mail is supposed to. It happens most of the time, I think. Yes? Yes?
Just one more question. You said if it goes to the guidelines or something, so what if it's a year who had a confirmation sent out any appreciation sent any tax that we got on Friday? That's no longer on the job, or something like that is your tax number or what?
It's sent out on Thursday, like on Friday.
No, you can't find out any tax that on Friday.
It's to me, it's a big problem because it's found the guidelines delivered on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only for you, is that part of a bigger tax?
Okay.
Are you all?
Saving your pay.
What about the following Shabbos?
It's true.
What if you have garbage collection on Shabbos? Garbage collection. Sanitation truck comes on Saturday. Just pick up the garbage. May you leave it out there on Friday before Shabbos, even though you know for a fact the non-Jew will pick it up the next day and cart it away.
That's the only thing
you know. In my opinion, the answer is yes. I'll tell you why. Here I think it's clear the garbage collector is working for the city, not for you. What's the difference? Very simple. In the post, I have to pay 32 cents for every standard and every letter that goes out. I'm telling you to do it. In the comes of the sanitation, I don't pay any taxes. Maybe where you live, I don't know, but I'm talking about New York City. New York City, you don't pay through the nose taxes, but nothing to do with the garbage or no garbage. So if it's a municipal sanitation service, where they don't charge you for taking away the garbage, and I think it's permissible to put out on Friday, because it's really doing it for the city, not for you. The proof is, they want it for sanitation reasons. They'll collect public, garbage cans and things like that. They don't want to be dirty. Yes. In your city. Well, this wouldn't apply. They come on Shabbos in your city? There's no city sanitation service? Pay for what?
Per bag.
A per bag.
And Tina, to get you to recycle, they charge you per bag so that you'll have less. Do you know what I'm saying? It's encouraging you not to put so much garbage out. Will you get a garbage bill?
Is there any other city in the world that has a system?
Where else? In Maine they have it.
Where?
In Maine.
Also.
Yeah. My aunt has it.
New York's not that bad, ladies.
I think in Maine it's five pounds. I think they do it by weight.
They weigh the garbage.
I think in Maine. Well, in Maine they're very into the recycling. And Tina, you have to pay those things out? Huh? And you have to pay the garbage and shit? I don't know that's right. I think she just said something like that. Okay. And also, we came to the camp. Because if you have too much garbage, I don't know. I'll bring it to the city. I know, I think that's what ours is different.
All the way, you're not the garbage, Tina.
Taking out a garbage is kind of.
Maybe the following has to make.
Hi, a dumpster. It's downstairs.
What's the guy doing exactly?
Oh, good.
What's he doing? He's taking the garbage.
And
putting it in a truck. Right? You can tell the garbage truck. You can follow you because you can take the garbage, put it on the back, carry it, put it to some big dumpster or somewhere. Even though that involves carrying with Baruch Hashem with an A room in Tina. So there's no problem. So it's not doing any malacca for you. He's taking the garbage with the truck and he's compact together in the front. It's business. You just, as far as you're concerned, you can take it with my hand, carry it to the dumpster, leave it there. Yes. Yeah, but if you know for a fact the garbage comes Tuesday and Saturday or something like that, that's a fact. Then, well, I recommend that the different companies bond the company to not collect on Saturday. That's all. Once you bank check, all the paper comes to accommodate you. Why not? I recommend that kind of service. Very complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
What about you telling this guy to press the elevator button for you? Yeah, it's a problem. However, for a mitzvah, there are some who say it's okay. On what grounds? The elevator is only a rabbinical prohibition. The Rabbanan. And even if it's a modern elevator, you press the button, the lights go on.
Well, you didn't ask him to try that.
But that's only a what?
Secret.
Secret, you got something right on. There are some, though, say for a mitzvah, you can tell the guy to press the button for the elevator. There are whole neighborhoods without mentioning any names. Not too far from here. But this is done by everybody. They live on the 20th floor, and they go in, and the guy presses the button, and then everyone knows the whole story, the whole business. I don't like it. I don't like it because number one, it's done so regularly. I don't like it. Number two, everything's a mitzvah. Everything you do on Shabbos is a mitzvah. If you want to go down, it's not a mitzvah.
What if
you want to go down to have a lush Torah session with your friends? It's not paper. So,
Very tough to just get out wherever they push.
Why not? Shoots above a bit, so you can tell. Why not? I don't like the whole thing. What bothers me the most is that people move into a high floor knowing in advance they have to do this. That's what bothers me the most. Why these things should be done routinely? All right, but if the Shabbos talk didn't work, you want to tell the guy with all this hatam we talked about before? I understand that. You can't afford to buy a Shabbos talk. You can't afford to go on the lower floor with your view. Is that so good?
What if it's not available? What if it's an apartment building? It's hard to get an apartment and the only one available is the high floor.
I want to tell you, from what I understand about the city, a high floor is considered preferable. I mean, if I'm wrong. Because the high floor would be better, be more desirable. Walk away, street noise. That, am I right? Am I not right?
Yeah,
I'm told. Only from a Yidman level. So, you should try to live in a low floor so you can walk up. Someone comes to your house, you have the bedroom has a heart condition. Can't climb stairs. Okay, I can understand it. But to go move up to a high floor and in advance knowing you have to have just, I don't like that at all. It's terrible. Better to avoid.
break it.
What if a guy calls you from Eretz Yisrael? There it's Shabbos and here it's Friday. Yeah. A lot more nicer. A non-Jew calls you from Eretz Yisrael. And there it's Shabbos and here it's Friday. So he said, it's Mutter. I could even call the guy, I could call the guy in China Eretz Yisrael. On Friday afternoon, it's 5 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock here. So it's 10 o'clock at night in Eretz Yisrael. And I have a guy in first and I want to speak to him. So I'm allowed to call him. That is okay. You may not put an ad in Saturday's paper. It's a big problem. Because he's printing it to you. Well, from the bottom he says, maybe that printer doesn't know what he's printing for. The old story. The printer doesn't know what he's printing for, so then maybe it'll be permissible. That's right, the footnote on the bottom. I'm sorry.
But how
did that be important? Like for you, how do you like it? Yeah, but you said before, the guy, the unsophisticated guy who presses the button, he doesn't know what he's printing for. He has no idea. That might be a possibility for a minute, maybe. Are there any questions? If you have a question, ask it now. Now's a good time to ask a question. Yes. Why not? They did it themselves, right? Just walk lockstep. Yeah, you know, I said before, the doorman pressed the buzzer.
No, it should be a
sliding
door.
They dance on the thing. It's also supposed to. Well, you should make it somewhere. I don't understand. If you're on the field, they'll close. On the other side. That's right. He can open those hands. He can open those hands.
This is Tuesday. I'm going to get.
Cash.
Also, no money, but that's nice.
Power filling. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No. Egg and plea is that it's all in one, surrounded by one. Unit, then it may not be an additional prohibition of carrying. This is an interesting question. The same thing from Matz Elio discusses the following context. You have a ring of keys on Yontif. You want to carry it. You only need two keys. The ring has five keys. He discusses whether you have to remove the other keys before you go out, because those other keys are not necessary. It concludes, it's not necessary. You need not remove those keys. It's all considered one unit. Take it sleep. It's in one big ring of surrounding all of them. That's the context of the statement. Yes?
Yeah,
That's why, for whom did he do it? He did it for himself to read, you may read life.
And so if he did do it for himself, he might for him to put on the life.
To read, you may get on off. That's correct. Alright. Everything has gotten it straight. You got it all down pat. It's a very complicated topic. Yes? So read Rabbah not for a mitzvah. Could be. Some of the poskim say, Shavadar actually quoted, that Shavuos the Shavuos is mutter, what's called Sorech Godol, for a great need. And Sorech Rav presumably is a great need. The reason for this is that these, according to my analysis, would be that these poskim maintain that the Daver Dover might be permissible to, go against it for a Sorech Godol. That's what they would probably hold. So not everyone agrees, so it's better to avoid. Because you would say it without mentioning the prohibition, you know, by the verb of the prohibition, be a shvus to shvus, then it might be permissible in that kind of a circumstance. But it's simply before. Yes?
You gave two justifications for it.
Pasha will
require knowledge in
the
eternal life. I don't understand the second one,
like
the life. I don't understand the difference between
the
kind of
life. Oh, incandescent and fluorescent.
Yes.
Fluorescent is not. Shwus to shwus to mitzvah. And I threw in, even though it may be a star which is red hat, it's only for segregation. Segregation, we said before, is okay. Through God. You have to understand the basis, otherwise you just can't remember all these things. You have to understand the logic behind all this stuff. It's one of the most misunderstood areas. Everyone says, you tell the God, for instance, you don't tell anything. It's unfortunate. People don't realize that. People use the Shabbos and do all kinds of things. Lights on, lights off. Just like this, all over the place. Every week, week in and week out. It's terrible. I've been to hotels. I'm not a big hotel guy. I don't like hotels, but well. But sometimes I go to a hotel, kind of a weekend or something like that. All of a sudden, the guy's putting lights on. They can't afford a Shabbos line. It's unbelievable. The price they're charging, they can't afford a Shabbos line.
Probably cheaper than hiring a guy.
Okay? Finished? We now begin the next topic. I'm going to talk to the front and I'll just a little bit. The next topic is what's called Chol of the Shabbos. Now, this is quite long. We meet tonight. Tonight is, what's that, the 25th? We meet next week, which is the 2nd. Correct? Then we meet when? The 9th. Then we'll go after that, no? Monday. 15. Correct?
Then you have to meet up. No, we don't meet.
You go to the finals yet? Or that's not
it? Yeah.
No,
15.
Thursday
afternoon, 25th.
Change it? Okay. No.
No.
What time?
No,
by 5.
Good, very good. Okay. Now, Pikuach Nefesh. Let's start with that. Pikuach nefesh means save a life. Sorry? The Shmir Shabbos, we're going straight. Chapter 32. We just finished 30 and 31. It's about Nukrim. Now 32. In order to save a life, a person may be Mechal Shabbos. In fact, he must be Mechal Shabbos. Whether it's definitely Pikuach nefesh, what's called Suffek Pikuach Nefesh, doubtful case. Whoever hurries and does it more quickly, Harezem Meshubah. It's praiseworthy. This is not a time to dilly-dally. When someone's life is on the line, you do what you have to do and do it quickly. The Rambam says one may not stall. And it says in this week's parasha, how appropriate. V'chai b'hem, v'losh yamashven, that's the source. As Rambam says, Mishpatei HaTorah are rachamim, v'chesed v'shalom v'olam, mercy and kindness and peace in the world. The Eilu Apikursif, Sha'omim Shazachil Shabbos, because apparently there were certain groups that felt that Shabbos took a precedence of a life and you have to die rather than be Mechal Shabbos. Aleh Akosim Omer, Gamanina Satilem Chukim Lo Tovim Mishpatim Lo Yishu Ben. They misinterpret the Pasuk, misinterpret the Din. It's a terrible thing. So now there's a polemic over here. To explain that it has to be done, it's a mitzvah to do it, it's praiseworthy, and should be done very quickly. Even in the case of Sukkot. What is called the Sukkot? The Chazanish writes, something which is reasonable. But something which is in the far away future, which has no, because it puts it, Ein Zechelem Kol Decha Behova, when there's not even a hint to it, then it would not be considered a Sukkot Bituach Nefesh. Everything's fine. But you're afraid that, who knows, in a month from now, a year from now, something's going to happen. You said it. However, he quotes it from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that if the disease is already in the person's body, it's considered to be Bituach Nefesh. And therefore, if it's necessary to do something on Shabbos and cannot wait till after Shabbos, medically, we must do it, because there's no imminent danger. Remember, Mr. Brewer writes, don't wait to ask the rogue. All the shaylas, if a shayla should I do it, the Muslim, yes, I feel through all the shaylas, you walk to the rabbi's house on Shabbos, you ask him a question, what's it? Here? Chas v'shalom. So you walk to the rabbi's house back, you can't die. This is a din which all rabbanim are required to teach the balabatim in advance. And the rule is, the general rule, if you do it on Tuesday, you do it on Shabbos. I'm not talking about writing a letter. Whatever's pikuach nefesh, whatever you think maybe be cause dangers in a patient's life, and you would go to the hospital on Tuesday, go to the hospital on Shabbos. Don't make a chesed, well, it's Shabbos afternoon, I'll wait 3 more hours, it'll be Havdalah, blah, 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 chas v'sholem. Right now. Yes? Very good question. If you're in a situation where it has to be, the patient must be seen within 24 hours.
That's all.
But the fact is, there's no doctor who could possibly see you once Shabbos is out until Monday morning. Impossible. In America, it's hard to imagine. Let's say it's impossible. Then you permit to listen to the Machal Shabbos. Ruach Nefesh, can't help. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the truth, damage to your vision is life-threatening. If you can't see, you can get concentrated by a car. So that might be life-threatening. But well, a limb, it depends on which limb it is, again. A certain limb, if you don't have it, it's life-threatening. But many limbs, it's not life-threatening. We'll have to see if we can discuss some of the details. Yes?
It seems like someone has blood-taking tested every day.
Why?
Pending.
Why?
The doctor's testing stuff.
Why?
I don't know if it's sick,
but
it hasn't been for 10 days straight.
Why? A diabetic? Diabetes is a cholish yesh basakon. Chas v'shalom, a person with diabetes, if he doesn't... You can answer this question first. If a person with diabetes does not treat himself or herself properly, Khalila, there can be catastrophic results. Now, the system, whereby a diabetic has a little kit, you press the little thing, take a little drop of blood, put it on a little computer, something, computerized piece, whatever it is, a little panel, and it registers a number. It gives you your insulin level. It's unbelievable. It's a new technology. It's great. May you do that on Shabbos? The answer is yes. Absolutely yes. I recommend, when possible, as a matter of routine, when possible, the person who's using it should try to find a way to be able to do press that thing down. I've seen it. It goes like this. You press down and the blood will come down. If you can find a way to do it, it's a little bit abnormally. I don't know if that's, you know, I can check it out. Could be instead of going like this with your thumb, this is the way it's normally done. See if I can do it. And with the back of your hand, somebody, if that's possible to do it without hurting yourself, that would be better. It's done so frequently. It's a shidduch. As far as the writing is concerned, I don't think that writing is made out of Torah. It's not really, writing. It's just a computer. It's just, you know, it's not really real writing. It's just it's a screen. It should then go away, turn it off, whatever. What's your question? I'm sorry.
If not before
Boss, I'm doing the 10 days straight. I do it on Shabbos. Not your 10th topic of the I don't care. It's like my boss will not come on Saturday. What? I'm a physician. Don't think pain is a physical of the I don't think so. Yes?
What could you mean if I have consideration
of very serious question. What if someone, if he doesn't do something, is in danger of, let's say, a nervous breakdown, Khalil. That's the show. Many posts say that's the door match. Nervous breakdown could lead to suicidal tendency, anything can happen. And therefore, in such a case, it would be a door match. I think that's the correct fact. But you shouldn't, you know, say, oh, first, if he doesn't watch the basketball, the NCAA, I'll have a nervous breakdown. That's one of the PBN channels. I mean, he has to correct his head, but that's from a nervous breakdown. The guy needs a little dose of booster. But he actually is taking his case separately. It's time for me to get started a little bit. It's the next week when we'll get into it.
That's the basis for
last class. Concerning the prohibition against telling a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. I want to give a brief review for two reasons. One, I forgot myself, because we had to pay some break. Two, not everyone's here. People had to get home to clean. So I understand that. So we'll give a very, very brief review. There are two reasons why I'm... The kids... Last class. Concerning the prohibition against telling a non-Jew to do Baruch on Shabbos. I want to give a brief review for two reasons. One, I forgot myself, because we had to pay some rent. And two, not everyone was here. People had to get home to clean, so I understand that. So we'll give a very, very brief review. There are two reasons why there are two reasons why it's prohibited to tell a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. One is the Vidaber Dover, not supposed to speak about malachas which are going to be done, and tell the guy to put out the light, so you're in violation of Vidaber Dover. Number two reason is called the Shlichus. He's considered to be your Shliach. That means that, although he's not really a Shliach, because he's not Jewish, but by rabbinic law, we consider him to be a Shliach, your agent, acting on your behalf, and therefore what he does is if you do it, and for this reason it would be prohibited with the Rabbanan to tell him to do things on Shabbos. That's called in the Lashon of the Gemara, Amira Lenachri Shvus. Telling the guy to do some Malach on Shabbos called a Shvus. Okay. Now there could be a difference between the two reasons. Let's go very briefly again. If you tell a guy on Shabbos, put on the lights, you can get both violations. One, you mentioned put on a light, and two, he did it for you on Shabbos, so it's two strikes. What happened if you told him on Friday to do it on Shabbos, or you told him on Shabbos to do it on Sunday? So each time there's only one thing wrong. You told him on Friday to do it on Shabbos, it's no Vidaber Dover, because he did the same thing on Shabbos. But if he's a Shlichus, he's your agent. You told him on Shabbos to do it on Sunday, then there's no Shlichus, he did it on Sunday, but it's Vidaber Dover. We told about it on Shabbos. Okay? This is basics. Fine. So on this basis, it seems to me that we can now analyze as we go along. Who says that the concept exists? Vidaber Dover, we understand. But how do we know that the other concept exists that he's considered to be a Shaliach? Maybe it's only Vidaber Dover? So one of the sources is an interesting Gemara Baba Masiyah. But the Gemara said that a man may not, it's a question, but a person may tell a non-Jew to take his ox and have the ox thresh and muzzle the ox. I may not do that, but Sassim Sharmanisha. Can I tell a guy to do it for me? It's an unresolved question in the Gemara. Obviously, it's only a matter of a Daber Dover, speaking on Shabbos, it's completely out of context. You see, there's an additional level of prohibition, and we call it Shlichus. Okay. Even though it's somewhat unresolved, but we follow it in the Hilchos Shabbos, we will explain later. Now, good. Let's get to that, the biggest problem of Shabbos, is hints. Hints, all kinds of hints. The different kind of hints which the Mepharshim talk about. If you mention, again this is my opinion, if you mention the verb, the minute you mention the verb, put on the light, or write a letter, or drive a car, any prohibited verb, you're in immediate violation of a Daber Dover. So there's no way that can be permissible, in my opinion. That's the quote you mentioned on Shabbos. If you mention it on Sunday, and tell the guy, hey, Mr. Guy, how come you didn't come yesterday to put the lights off? So on Shabbos, you didn't say a word. On Sunday, it's over, Daber Dover. If he does it for you on next Shabbos to put the light off, he's not considered to be your agent, because there's no direct instruction. So therefore, it's permissive. It's called a hint, which is from which you mentioned the prohibited action, but you mentioned only on Sunday, on Friday, as the case may be. You don't mention on Shabbos. Now there is a case where you some kind of hint on Shabbos is permissible for Sunday. That's a case which is found in the Ramah. And the question, how far does that go? So as I mentioned to you last time, the Shmira Shabbos applies to all malachas, which I don't understand at all, I think it's incorrect. And according to my understanding, the Ramah is limited to an interesting case Well, the first is an expression that's foul, because that's what the Shulchanoch speaks about. Can you meet me tonight? Can you meet me tonight? That's a very vague phrase, you meet me tonight. You want to meet tonight to play ping pong, you want to meet tonight to eat supper, whatever you want to meet tonight. You know that the meeting tonight that should be hired as a worker. That's the subtext. That's not said, that's not verbalized. So in that kind of a case, say, can you meet me today? In 2 hours, it's not allowed because you're hiring a worker on Shabbos. Not allowed. Can you meet me tonight? So it's mutter because then there's no hiring on Shabbos, no action of prohibition which is mentioned explicitly. That's considered to be permissible. To say to the non-Jew, I wonder if someone could, if I say on Shabbos, why didn't you put the light on last Sunday? Something like that. So if you put the light on this coming Sunday, that wouldn't be allowed in my opinion. But the Davar Zobi eventually put it on the light, which is prohibited. Okay, this is as far as the hint which mentions the verb. There's also a hint which doesn't say anything about the verb. No verb is mentioned at all. It's just you, he's telling you your problem. What's my problem? Oh, I can't fall asleep with light in the room. And the guy we hope has enough sable, and his guy should come to understand what you want is he should turn the light off. That's okay. Why? Let's figure it out. It's all about the logic. Since you didn't mention any verb, there's no vidabra dover. Since you didn't give any instruction, there's no shlichus. So it's mutter. By contrast, if you wave it and point at the light switch, that would be not allowed, because even though you didn't say anything, but this video is your agent. If you talk in riddles, I mentioned last time, that Mr. Brugge gave a funny expression of the blow his nose, and it really means he should fix the candle. Whatever, it's also not allowed. It's a direct instruction. He's considered to be a shliach. And here's the most important halacha: if he does it for you regularly, every week, week in and week out, then by definition, he's considered to be your shliach. Even though you didn't say anything to him at all. That's the unfortunate halacha that people often violate. They have live in health, as I mentioned to you, in the house, live in health in the house, live in, work in health in the shul, and every week they put the lights on and put the lights off. It's terrible. There is a prohibition of shlichus, even if not a word is exchanged, since it's done regularly.
How do you get it
right? That's based, not just I made it up, Shimon Aron said it, and they quoted from the Rush. The Rush got it quoted from the Gemara. I think Gemara Baba Metzia, the same doubt that Sadi implies, that in the case of a different interesting situation over there, the thing is that the person is not permitted to render an animal sterile through some kind of operative procedure. This is a raisa. Can I tell a guy to do it? Again, the same question. We assume the answer is no. What if I don't tell the guy anything? But the guy knows my problem. He takes all of my animals, takes them home to his little vet, whatever he is, any cut that has to be cut, and brings it back. So the guy says, it's not allowed. Because even though he didn't say a word, but since he's doing it on a regular basis, he did it once, okay, he did it once. So you encounter lucky stars. He starts doing it on a regular basis, I don't know, 2 times, 3 times, then it's considered to be my shit, and I didn't say anything. That's the problem with today's Shabbos guard. Every week, it's the same thing. It's considered to be a shaliach. So it's not allowed. Not allowed. What can I do? It's not allowed. Okay. This is all a brief review of what we spoke about last time. But then I think we also got to talk about, our saving grace. Shavuos de Shavuos b'makom mitzvah. Remember last time, if I'm not mistaken? Tell us something to do something which is rabbinically prohibited for a mitzvah. So I explained, so Shemot, I gave you my logic last time, why it should be so. What's the logic why it should be so? Well, as I mentioned to you before, the concept of Shlichus is an unresolved question. It's not resolved definitively, conclusively, as prohibited. It's unresolved. It's unresolved, so what's the difference? If it's a Torah prohibition, we have to be more strict. If it's a rabbinic prohibition, we can be lenient. That's why a shavuos to shavuos should be permissible from the perspective of shlichus. But you have this other problem, a davar davar. You're not a speaker, you forget, you can't even mention it. So the answer would be, aha, but for a mitzvah, it's okay. But the pasuk that I told you, v'mtsel chepzuchah v'davar davar. So we say it's virus chafatzecha asurim, that you may not do chafatzecha, but chefte shamayim utarim. You're allowed to discuss business when it comes to mitzvahs. So to v'daber davar, it mentioned the malacha for your purpose, your own purpose before you did, but for purpose of it, is permissible. So therefore, shvus to shvus to malacha mitzvah is permissible, the combination of factors. Shvus to shvus knocks out the shlivus. That's all the rabbinical, we could go, you could be leading the unresolved question. And mitzvah knocks out the v'daber davar, if this analysis is correct. What should emerge, well, that's not how we use this, is that a shvus to shvus should be permissible even without a mitzvah, as long as it's being done from before Shabbos. Because before Shabbos is no abadabra dover, and the shvus to shvus aspect we say knocks out the shlichus, it should be mutter. The Mishnah Lamelech says that Rabbi Yosef Karo thinks maybe this should be the case. I found it somewhere for it. But it's not. Not everyone agrees with this, but it should emerge. Okay. Now, after all this introduction, let's get to some practical things. First, before I forget, mention to you that you may tell a goy to do anything, either to prevent what's called a mifshal arabim, or the mifshal arabim, that people, many people should not be to do an aveir. For example, the Arab broke. You're allowed to tell the goy to fix the Arab on Shabbos. All the posts can agree to that. And the reason is because you know there'll be many people carrying. Many people are carrying that would be a color of the rabbin. Not just a plain mitzvah, much more than a mitzvah, a mitzvah of the rabbin, or a veil of the rabbin. So therefore it is permissible. That's what's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah and other posts as well. Also, you can tell a goy to do something ben hashmashes. Ben Hashmashis, again for a mitzvah, they permitted it. Ben Hashmashis, it's between the time we definitely Shabbos yet, so therefore we have the reason to permit that as well.
Only for mitzvah?
Only for mitzvah. Everything else for mitzvah. Now, you may tell a guy to do something which could be done in a permissible fashion, even though he's going to do it in a prohibitive fashion. That's going to be our saving grace. You can tell him to do it in a permissible fashion. You don't tell him anything. You tell him that something can be done in a permissible fashion. Even though you know that he's going to do many malachas on his own. The reason for this is because you didn't tell him to do the prohibited action. Example, I'm giving examples of the Shmir Shabbos. You can tell the guy to wash the dishes, even though you know he's going to do a malacha in order to wash the dishes. He gives a very radical example. He could actually put on a light and heat up water to do the dishes, or put on the dishwasher. He has a very big kiddush that he can allow these things. But I think there's something which he does not mention, which is coming to play over here. Namely as follows. Mentioned, I think, last week, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's permissible to tell a goy to do A, even though there's an inevitable result B, which is prohibited. What's that called in Hebrew? Sigration. I tell him to do A, even though we know for a fact B is going to happen. Did we mention that? I gave it a reason. Because neither the Dabra Dover doesn't apply and Shlichus doesn't apply. I say, open the refrigerator, Mr. Jones. And the light goes on. I didn't open the light on. I didn't mention about the light. So he's not my Shlichus, but it happens by itself. This is nothing I told you. Should be permissible to tell the guy, put on hot water, Mr. Jones. Nothing more hot water coming out of the tap. What's wrong is that if there's the inevitable result that the cold water goes into the tap, goes into the boiler. I didn't tell him to do that. That happens because that's the way the system is rigged. That'd be permissible. Therefore, I can tell the guy, wash the dishes, Mr. Jones. Because he can do it very easily, put on hot water, which is like, I'm allowed to tell him to do that. If he decides he'd rather put on the dishwasher, but it's strictly speaking, it's okay. I have to watch out. It shouldn't go around, and it should be a zuzzle and Shabbos. but they do it often in the nursing homes and things of this nature. Hotels do it that way. He could have done it by hand. It'll take him 3 times as long. He wants to save time, that's for himself. He wants to save time because he's saving his own time.
Why would you ever wash dishes by hand?
No,
saying like it's not, you have a dishwasher.
I have a dishwasher with a man all the time. Not only on Shabbos. Pay the dishwasher. Dishes.
I just thought it's like
it's
when you have it.
It's not true. We'll be able to get mad at you. Yes?
Isn't it
in
a situation that it's possible to do something like this way on the way, then it's okay?
You don't turn on the water because it's only segregation. Segregation for a guy is mutter. Like the refrigerator light, same thing. Which you'll see is a very important ramification as we go along. If you can tell a guy, you bring me something from that room, I need something in that room. Even though they put the light on, in order to get the object. That's what it's called us in the Prima God. They're not going to use the light. I didn't ask to use the light. He put the light up for himself so he could see better.
But can you go in there?
You can go in there later and use the light to find a light. See, if the guy put, as a rule, that's what you do. And only may you not tell the guy to do something, but if he did it, you can't have any hanoa from it. It's a positive hanoa. You have a pitch black room and the guy puts on the lights for you, you may not read by that light. Because they didn't tell him a word. Even if it's occasional, it's not the regular Shabbos commission, you should yell at him and stop. It just happened once. You cannot have enough from how much you're going to for a Jew.
What about turning off lights?
Off light is okay because off light is a negative. I told you last time, except for Mitzrayim, you don't have any absolute darkness. Darkness is a negative, absolute light. Yeah. Absolutely not allowed.
So you feel
like
you
can't say
what you
did
the wrong way?
Just say no.
You can't allow it. You're not allowed to do it.
Absolutely not. Okay. Yes.
If it's by accident, like someone who's not from turns on the light in your house by mistake, then do you have to stay out of that room and not use the light? Even if that person did it completely by accident, without a purpose? Because that's their, you know, instinct is to...
So you should not use the light.
Then
you
go
to
the
shop
with
yourself.
Also should. Shoving is also a shop.
What if you're carrying something up the steps and you bump into the light? The light thing is just a little press button on the wall, not the light.
So it's not your fault, didn't do it, what could you do? Still should use the light. Now, let's go on. This is an old trick that you see in Europe, yes? You ask him, can you bring me, this is what they used to do in Europe. Ivan, would you like a drink? Oh, drink? Buy a drink? Of course. Come in. Oh, where's the drink? Oh, it's downstairs in the basement. Oh, okay. Kind of black. Can't see anything. So, Ivan wants his drink. He's thirsty. He wants his alcohol. So he takes a candle and lights it. Get out to get a drink. So he drinks. Drink, another drink, send him on his way. Make sure he's not conscious to blow out the light. And he goes. You may then use that light. Why? He put the light up for himself. He wanted the drink.
Someone
can't. What, can't you?
Yeah.
You say, I want the light. I want. Similarly, if you have a non-Jewish person in the house, this person is a dark room, and the person wants to read a magazine. The person who's on the line is a non-Jew to read a magazine. You may read by that light. Because the non-Jew did it for himself or herself. And there's no possibility of adding light for you. Because one light is one light. You don't need 100 lights. But it's permissible for you to enjoy that light. As opposed to, by the way, if the guy heated up water, the tea, you may not use that water for your own tea. For fear, the next time, the girl will add another cup of water for you. When it comes to light, it doesn't apply. Yes?
Are you allowed to ask him not to turn off the light?
Yes. Yes, yes, you're allowed to ask him. Please don't touch this. That's okay. Yes?
You ask him to get something from the room and the light is off.
That's what it says in the three quotes of the Freedom of God. That's what bothers me a little bit, Frank. That bothers me a little bit. But apparently, he's not doing it for you. But as far as you're concerned, he can... Where is that thing? Look around for 5 minutes and bang his knees and bang his head. That's his problem. He doesn't want to do it. He's trying to save himself and bang the bruised knees. But he could probably get it without the light. That's, I guess, what the logic is. I guess maybe there's a little tiny bit of light. You know, New York, the street lights, wherever you are, there's a little bit of light. If he looks hard enough, he can find it. I guess, otherwise that question bothers me as well. All right. Also, you tell a guy to do work for you, if you don't tell him to do it on Shabbos. So, yeah, he's giving you shoes to the shoemaker on Friday. Or the tailor. The only order to demand is to be ready on Shabbos. Car to the gas station. You know? You can do it before Shabbos. Give you the car at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and it takes only an hour and a half to fix it. He may not choose to do the hour and a half until Shabbos afternoon. It's his business. He could have done it Friday afternoon. Or did I need the car for Sunday? He could have done it Saturday night. Places where they shul, leave out houses, we have no real excuse, but shuls, they have non-Jewish people putting on the lights. How do they allow that? What's going on? How do they allow you to do? Last week I said I volunteered to pay for the Shabbos stock for any shul that wants to take me up. So I think it's such a really something should not be done. But if it's already being done, we can perhaps find the following justification. Perhaps. There's a sefer called the Eish Al Avrom, the back of the regular Shulchan Aruch, written by the Muchacharov. It's called Muchachar in Europe. He writes the following statement. You know, the reason why you can tell a non-Jew to fix an Erev on Shabbos is not only because of the problem of the multitudes that are carried out in Erev. No, it even applies to a private house. Only I'm living there and I have an Erev around my backyard. I can still go to fix the Erev on Shabbos. You know why? It's still a matter of a mitzvah. I need it for mitzvahs out in the backyard, whatever they may be. And the non-Jew could buy a kind of a knot which would be prohibited only rabbinically. Only rabbon. Certain kinds of knots, we don't know about kosher, so knots are the rabbon on if it's not exactly whatever they do it in an abnormal fashion. Father not using his his teeth. I don't know what some funny way he can do it. Since he has the ability to tie the knot in an abnormal way, even if I don't tell him to do so, and therefore the likelihood, the overwhelming probability is that he'll tie the knot in a normal fashion, doesn't matter. If he could have done it abnormally, that would have been permissible because of shuas to shuas to not permissible. Because it's doing something unusual, the funny way is considered a shino, you don't care about it. Even though I didn't tell him to do it that way, it would be permissible nonetheless. If that's the case, why is the Ramah so clear? You're not permitted to tell a guy to put on a, to light a fire on Shabbos, even for a mitzvah? So the answer would have to be, as one of the contemporary Dolev says, because you can't do that abnormally. You can't light a fire abnormally today with electric lighting. You can see your elbow, bang, goes on. But to light a fire with wood, with matches, with you have to do it normally. You can't do that abnormally. And therefore, it's prohibited, but otherwise it would be permissible. That's what the Yesh El Avraham says. And there's even a source for a little bit in the Ramah, who says as follows. I can tell a guy to move the candles on Shabbos. Even though it's Muktzah. And Shavuos to Shavuos is usually prohibited, there's no mitzvah. Well, he could have moved it in what we call Tiltul Min Atzar. Tiltul Min Atzar, of course, means indirect movement. Spoken about before. I didn't tell him to do it indirectly. Very unlikely he's going to do it that way. But since he could do it that way, then I didn't tell him to do it in the prohibited fashion. That's the logic part. This is what the Sefer Eishel Avraham says, and there's even a source for a little bit in the Ramah. If that's the case, maybe in the shul where they have the guard put the lights on, that's what they're thinking. Since the guard put on the lights with his elbow, so therefore, even though they didn't tell him to do his elbow, he doesn't do his elbow, maybe that's why it's okay. Alright. Had he done it with his elbow, what it would have been would be a shrus to shrus, the book of mitzvah. Even though they didn't tell him, it wasn't for a mitzvah, it would be permissible. That's what I'm trying to justify, this custom of shul. But I'm still not happy with it. I know that.
But they same time.
Could do it. Theory. That's the Eishel Avraham. That's justification number one. Justification number two is that many shuls, they have fluorescent lights. Let's take a poll. How many of you got here down in the shul has fluorescent lights? That's it. How many have incandescent lights? Most of you don't look up. I see what that camera. There's a big difference. An incandescent light is ash. It's a glowing film, it's fire. And then there's a rice. A fluorescent light, there's no filament here. There's gas. I'm told. Anyone know any physicists here? Physics. Probably the fluorescent lights are just gas. It's the gas that gives out light.
The gas has to be
compensated. Oh, so the gas itself is just only the Rabbana. So maybe these people are thinking that it's a shmutz and shmutz and gas. But some fluorescent light. These also, how about they call a starter? What's a starter? It's a red hot. You ever notice it takes a second for it to go on?
Ignited.
Right, it's ignited. You ever see? It goes boom. You know, so at least the old style. So that's a starter, that's a ready derice. It's a hot, red hot coil. The answer is again, that's only a psigration. You didn't have to put on the red hot coil, you have to put on the light. The light is only the Rabbanan. The red hot coil is a psigration. So maybe we can somehow justify for a mitzvah to practice some of the going part of the fluorescent lights. So that's why another possible dispensation. But that is again an all post facto. I think it's better to spend the money and get a Shabbos clock. I'm only talking for a mitzvah, and I'm only talking where you can't get a Shabbos clock, with malfunction or something.
But with all the requirements, okay.
But only for a mitzvah. Only for a mitzvah. All right. Question. I'm sorry. Yes.
What about like other things that guys
are
usually about, like
air conditioner,
things like that?
Very good. So air conditioner, the possum say, is a shvus to shvus. An air conditioner is no derice involved, that's what we assume. And therefore, tell the goyim about the air conditioner for a mitzvah would be okay. What's the mitzvah? You can't daven. 95 degrees in shul. Very hot. So tell the guy to put on the air conditioner. I'm sorry. So there for what? Absolutely not. A light is a deraisa, right? And air conditioner is a rabbanan. That's the difference. So the light, you had to go through a few hoops to try to justify it. You know, somersaults. mental gymnastics, maybe. I'm saying, no, maybe. But when it comes to the English, it's a much more easy leniency because it's Shavuos v'Shavuos v'Avos. I don't think you should do it on a regular basis, but all the things should be avoided on a regular basis. It's got a Shabbos stop. Things we spoke about a little bit last week, I think. Now, the Ramah has the following case. A non-Jewish farmer picks his vegetables or fruits from the ground in order to bring it to market. Who is the market? Majority non-Jewish, minority, but significant minority, Jewish. Like New York. So the question becomes, may you have enough of these fruits and vegetables on Shabbos? So the Ramah says, if we know the non-Jew picked the fruits both for the Jew and for the non-Jew, because he knows that, you know, he has 80% non-Jewish customers, 20% Jewish customers, he knows his business, he knows that every day he has, he sells 800 fruits to non-Jews and 200 fruits to Jews, he picks his regular 1,000 fruits, because he figures 200 will be celebrated fruits bought by Jews. Not allowed. May I have any hanoch from that fruit on Shabbos? You picked it on Shabbos, but the majority Jewish, non-Jewish clientele, and the minority Jewish clientele. Even if he lit a candle, for three people, two of them are non-Jewish, one of them is Jewish, that could happen, right? Because a lobby somewhere in a hotel, I don't know what. It's dark, and the guy that puts on the light for you and two non-Jews at the same time. You're both sitting in the dark, so he makes a light. All three of you, he makes a light. Since the majority is Jewish, there's only one action, is non-Jewish. There's only one action, so we label the actions being done on behalf of the non-Jews, based on the majority. But if they may do many actions, pluck, 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 he picked many fruits off the ground, and there is a significant non-Jewish minority, and he has in mind both. Then it's not allowed. So what's the Ramah? That's what I think. Not allowed. Ramah says so. You have to follow. Therefore, it seems to me, and it's going to be a very unpopular statement, but I'm telling you what I think anyway, that one may not subscribe to the Saturday newspaper, nor may one read the Saturday newspaper which was ordered by a Jewish person. Let me explain why. Newspapers, if you know how they work a little bit, let's take the New York Times, they print tens of thousands of copies. They have a big circulation. Much of the circulation is subscription. So the Times company knows if they get 100 new subscriptions, they print 100 new papers. If they get 100 less, they print 100 less. How do they print the paper? They press a button. They probably it's a meter of some sort. They want a copy, press you want 100,000, 110,000, 111,000. You just push the digits on there, and you press a button, boom, and it goes. There are many Jews in New York. Everyone knows there are many Jews in New York area. So therefore, the majority of the papers are printed for non-Jews, but the minority is printed for Jews. consciousness is a low-class building and a high-class building. You appear at the door, the non-Jewish doorman opens the door for you by hand. Please, come in. Can I take your packages? That's high class. But it's a low-class building. I can't afford so many doormen in it. So the guy is too lazy to get off his seat and to go to the door and let you in by hand. He's lazy. He's much more balabatish, right? Much more respectful, nicer. But he's not interested in doing that. To save himself the 15-second walk to the door and the hassle of getting up, he presses a buzzer. He's not pressing a buzzer for me. He's pressing a buzzer for himself.